You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast, powered by Diaga.ie and proudly sponsored by Flomax. Be sure to check out our brand new website, BetweenTheStripes.ie, while you can find us on Twitter at Between Stripes or on Facebook by searching Between the Stripes. Now, here are your hosts, Kieran Burke and Jonathan Breyer.
Hello everyone and welcome to Series 2, Episode 25 of Between the Stripes LOI Podcast. Kieran Burke and John Breyer in studio for another action-packed show. John, welcome back.
Thanks Kieran, how are you?
Great John, a disappointing result for Longford, we'll discuss that later on, but I hate when we get branded a League or a Longford Town podcast. We are, of course, a League of Ireland podcast. So we'll start with the... Well, I suppose before we start with anything, better mention our guests, first of all. We're a bit disorganised this week. We're going to be speaking to the UCD goal hero, the man whose goal secured them the title at the weekend. Conor Davis will be joining us on the line. And a couple of fan interviews tonight to bring you. A huge game at Turner's Cross on Friday night. So we'll have fans from both Dundalk and Cork in Pat McAvoy from the Cork side and Kieran Callum, who's a local radio presenter down in Dundalk. They'll both be joining us. But let's start with our review of the action from the weekend, John. My prediction was quite appalling for this. I must apologise to Cove and Stephen Henderson again. But you got a spot on 3-1 for Derry in the final of the EA Sports Cup.
Yeah, it wasn't the 6-0 that you predicted, Kieran, it? I'm not going to mention that at least four times this podcast, I don't think. But yeah, look, the odds were against the Ramblers having to travel to Derry for a start, something that I've mentioned at least three times, I would say, in the last three podcasts.
But... And, you know, we thought we were going to get a good surface up there. The playing surface was appalling, wasn't watered before the game, so very dry, very disgraceful. Like, the bounce was totally out of... all proportions where you'd see on a grass pitch. There was ridiculous bounce at the ball, and I know Kenny Shields himself criticised the playing surface, so that was disappointing from a neutral point of view. But bar that, great to see a sold out Brandywell and a good strong travelling crowd from Cove as well.
Yeah, it was fantastic to see, you know, a final like that in front of a full Brandywell. Again, it just makes me think back to what could have been in Europe.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
When we saw that very sparsely populated Brandywell. But look, we'll go back to the match anyway. And the first thing that we were talking about was Henderson's selection of Mylords. We wondered whether Paul Hunt would come back in, but he stuck with Adam Mylord.
Don't want to be critical of a young goalkeeper, but I think a couple of those goals that went in, if Hunt was in between the sticks, I think he would have kept them out.
Okay, possibly. I think... it was Derry pressure early on. McAniff forced a good save from Mylord early on, but a slip led him Ronan Hale to up the score. Unfortunate, that one.
Yeah, a disappointing goal to give away from a Cove point of view.
Yeah. Key player that I picked out last week, Christopher, he equalised after, well, what can only describe as shoddy defending.
I thought it was a good move, a good attacking move from Cove. Hull really impressed me during the game. I hadn't seen a lot of them going into this final, but... looks like a real old-fashioned centre-forward, a number 9, good hold-up player. Not a lot of pace, but plenty of power and determination. Made a couple of good runs at the Derry back four as well. So maybe a player to watch there.
I think we'll see more of him next season, yeah.
The two other players involved in that goal, Fernandez out on the wing for Cove, I thought he was excellent. And Taylor, the fullback who put the cross in, he was superb both defensively and going forward. So he's certainly a player that a few clubs might have an eye on after that final performance.
For half-time, Spillane forced a save from Mylord and went into half-time level 1-1, so plenty of encouragement for Henderson.
I thought it was
team.
A very poor first-half performance from Derry. They just seemed very laid-back, flat.
Yeah, it was, to say what they were up against. But second half, the Premier Division quality, I thought, really started to shine through.
It shined through when they needed it to shine through in the key moments. Overall, though, I felt it still wasn't a great performance from Derry. And obviously, as we're recording this podcast tonight, they're going to be in FEI Cup action at home to Bowes. And they're going to have to put in a much better performance if they want to get past form that inside, or past that informed Bowes side, I should say.
McAniff forced another save from Milo before the... before the second goal for Derry. It was Darren Cole heading in from a corner from the fellow we interviewed last week.
The zonal marking there has really let them down.
Yeah, I'm so disappointed to concede from a set piece.
You wouldn't expect that from Cove. You expect them to put goals in at the far end with set pieces. That's where you would have expected their strength to be during the game. But, very loose marking for that goal.
Yeah.
Good header by Cole. But again, questions over the keeper. Could his hand been a bit stronger?
Well, yeah.
I think the bounce is what done him there. I think on a grass pitch, he probably had more of a chance. It just really skited up in front of him off that pitch.
Yeah. McDonough was brought down and McAniff dispatched the penalty to make it 3-1. But late on, they got a penalty, didn't they, Cove, when Hurley was brought down?
Yeah, Derry totally dropped off after getting that third. Maybe you'd expect that. But then again, as you're saying, Premier Division team, they should probably be going and looking to really finish the game off and get a fourth, maybe even a fifth. But they dropped off and O'Connor had the chance from the penalty spot, but his penalty was saved and somehow he's put the rebound over the bar from probably no more than 4 yards out.
And I'm going to say this, it's justice for wearing 83 on his shirt, Kieran. Yeah. It should have been an automatic yellow card as far as I'm concerned.
I was impressed with O'Connor, obviously a man who started out his season with Longford, could never seem to get his fitness right though, and I think you could probably see during the game at times too, he was struggling. His physical condition doesn't look to be the best, and I know we've criticised players in the League of Ireland that, you know, they don't look to be as fit as they should be. But O'Connor's obviously a more experienced player, having come back from England, so maybe he can be forgiven. But his overall performance was quite good. He was the grit in that Cove midfield. He got the players going as well. Some nice passes going forward. So you could see the potential there in him, that you can see why Neil Fenn obviously identified him as a signing at the start of the season.
You don't play at that level in England, you know, if you're a poor player. There's a reason why, you know, he was playing at that level. So, and like I said the other week, it's nice to see him turning out and hopefully enjoying his football.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway,
he didn't enjoy that penalty though.
No, he didn't. So no disgrace from Cove. I thought they acquitted themselves pretty well, and they were a decent advert for the First Division. I thought.
Most certainly. Again, from the Derry point of view, didn't think it was a great performance, but their first trophy since the League Cup back in 2011, and you'd be hoping they can push on from that.
You'd hope so. I think that's all they're going to get this season, though, isn't it? That's at this stage, but they'll be hoping to push on next season. But we go back to the old situation with Derry and recruitment and whether or not they can.
I can't see them keeping
players.
The likes of McAniff there. Ali Roy will be one that I'm sure managers will be looking at after his strong start to life with Derry. There's a couple of other players there you'd identify as well. So it's a big off-season ahead.
Let's not finish on a negative for them, though. That's a good result and a good cup one.
Yeah, and after the tough couple of years they've had off the pitch, especially for people there like Gerard Doherty, who's been with the club a long, long time, great success for them. So
he could see what it meant to him at the end as well. You know, it meant a lot to that
club. I know he spoke about going and visiting the grave of Ryan McBride before the final. So a lot of emotion. And as he lifted the trophy, he did point to the sky. So a poignant moment there, and a big thanks we must say to the backroom team there at Derry, the media team, for organising those interviews with Kenny Shields and Ben Fiss last week. And anytime I have to say, I drop an email to the Derry media team, they're just absolutely fantastic to deal with, and some of the bigger clubs in the Premier Division could maybe learn a lesson or two there in that regard. But huge congrats to Derry and well done to Cove on a great performance, and hopefully they'll give Longford Town a dig out at the weekend.
Yeah, it's their cup final this weekend, we'll say. So we'll be tweeting Hendo during the week and making sure he's on the ball.
Moving on to the Premier Division, there's only one place to start. Dalymount Park, 4-2 win for Bowes over an abysmal Cork side.
It was the Delaney horror show.
Oh my good God, we've mentioned him a few times this in recent weeks, John, about not settling into life in the League of Ireland quite well, and my God, he was showing up here.
Well, let's start with a back pass, Kieran, because where was the keeper?
Yeah, so who do you lay the blame with here? Obviously Delaney doesn't get his head up, and even if the keeper was standing there, he's fairly belted it at him. But the keeper's positioning didn't make any sense to me at all.
He was nowhere near it, and I still thought he could have got back. He almost seemed
There was a bit of a funny old dip in that Dalymount pitch at times.
But it was just an absolute horror from the pair of them to me. Disaster.
I think that's a position John Caulfield's going to have to look at in the off-season, the goalkeeper, because McNulty's had a very poor season, and Cherry, you mentioned it last week, you don't think he's up to the mark.
Nope.
His performance here didn't back up any counter-argument to that.
He's just one of a number of positions that I think Cork need to strengthen, Kieran, but definitely goalkeeper-wise. Superb goal from Daniel Kelly, though. Let's not run that. What a run and finish.
He's had a great
what
start.
What a talent.
What a find by Keith Long. And again, I remember harping on about Keith Long here towards the end of last season, that he should have been, for me, the manager of the season. The form they're in at the moment, I think it's 7 wins in a row now. They haven't conceded in a long, long time. Fantastic form from Bowes, and the football they're playing, as you mentioned, has been superb.
They're super, and the third goal, well, it was another one that Delaney won't like to look back on. He gave Kelly his second goal of the night to make it 3-0, and at this stage you thought it was all over.
And Delaney was whipped off then at half time, I think, if I'm right in saying. Just You surely don't imagine him starting the game on Friday night against Dundalk.
I don't think so.
Alan Bennett, surely much more solid option to come in there and just try and steady the ship.
Bowes gave Cork a glimpse of hope when they failed to clear the lines and Cummins headed home from a ball from Beattie to make it 3-1. But, you know, it was 4-1 just before half-time. Incredible to think they shipped four in the first half.
Unbelievable.
After a Pender run and hit to give them a 4-1 lead.
And he beat Delaney to that ball. Pender's come all the way from the right-back position, ran all the way across to the left side of the pitch, beating Delaney to the ball, and he's tucked it home into the bottom corner. Went under the keeper's hand. Whether he could have done better with it, I'm not sure. We don't want to sound like we're being overcritical of goalkeepers here all the time, but what a cheap goal for Cork to give away right on the stroke of half time when they just got themselves back into the game.
Sniff of hope when Jimmy Keoghan, he got in the end of a cross from Kyle Shepherd to make it 4-2, but I have to say that was as good as it got for Cork.
As good as it got, I'm afraid. And John Caulfield took quite an earful at the end when he went over to the Cork fans.
Yeah, there was a few people mentioning things to him, I think. It's safe to say.
Yeah. Look, we're going to be playing our first interview of the night shortly. We're going to be joined by a lifelong Cork City fan, Pat McAvoy. But we'll move on to our next fixture now. And of course, we'll have a preview to that big game at the weekend between Cork and Dundalk later in the show when Kieran Callan joins us. But our next fixture now, Rovers 5-0 winners against Limerick. And I know we spoke off air, John, we weren't impressed at all with this Limerick performance.
Well, this was as one-sided as you'll ever see a game, Kieran.
The term throwing in the towel is used quite a lot in football these days, but if there was ever an example of it, that was it from Limerick.
I couldn't come up with enough phrases to say how bad they were. Yeah. I've got woeful, I've got absolute muck down here.
There's a few other ones I could use, but I don't know, what do we get on the iTunes charts this week with such expletives?
Hendo swore last week, so...
Yeah, that was just a little...
Yeah, he's allowed to, he's in the cup final, but look, let's talk about the goals, because there were some absolute crackers from Rovers.
Yeah, I think the Rovers lads were having their own goal of the season competition in this one.
Yeah, well, Ronan Finn kicked us off with an absolute pile driver to make it 1-0.
Sixth goal of the season. You'd like to see a few more from Finn, especially when he has the ability to do that.
Yeah, and then his midfield partner, Greg Bolger, drive from a corner to make it 2-0.
That was a beauty.
Yeah. Deflected shot from Dylan Watts that went over Jack Brady.
Nothing he could do with that.
No, and then a cracking header from Lopez. He headed from the corner.
It might grab the headlines the way a thunderbolt from 30 yards does like Finn or Bulger's, but I was actually really impressed with that goal by Lopez. Great finish.
Yeah. Finn made it 5. It could have been more... Jack Brady made a few decent saves. Maybe could have been at fault for one or two.
Fifth one, he probably pushed back into the danger area, and he got away with one earlier in the game where he did the same. But he actually did make a couple of really good saves from long distance off Bulger and Finn again. So he stopped them picking up a couple of goals. But you've mentioned there that was just absolutely woeful from Limerick.
Yeah, it's just, like I said, they're already a first division side, I think.
I don't think that was as bad as I've seen. We'll mention it now. There was a really, really good Twitter poll up last night on the Between the Stripes Twitter account, at Between Stripes, if you want to follow us, folks. I put up the poll regarding the structure of the playoffs. When you look at the performances of a team like Limerick, who the way they've played this season, they shouldn't deserve the safety net, I feel, John, of a playoff. I feel the bottom two should automatically be relegated, and the first team, UCD, should go up, and then second, third and fourth should enter a playoff amongst themselves in the first division. The winner of that playoff series should then replace the second bottom team, i.e. Limerick.
I think that's only coming to a head though, Kieran, because you've seen how poor Limerick was. Now if the team in ninth was, say, a point off eighth and a couple of points off the seventh team, and there were decent teams around them, then you'd be saying, well, hang on, we're going to lose a good team out of the Premier Division here.
I don't think if you're eighth in a 10-team division, you're a decent team. I think you're well within your rights to be in danger of falling into the first division.
Well, that's fair enough.
I mean, the standard of this division this season has been appalling for me. The top two are miles away from everyone, yet we're talking about them not being as good as they have been in previous years. Cork been quite appalling in their defence of the title. Waterford had a great start to the season, but sadly, inconsistencies let them down. Rovers a mile off the pace, and I don't see them closing that gap significantly next season. Then you have Derry, who again, consistencies let them down. They've won a cup, but their league form has been very, very poor. Europe was poor. Then you have a muchness between the likes of Pats, Bowes, obviously in good form at the moment, but overall not put much of a dent on that league table. And then below that, you have Sligo, who have been absolutely woeful this season, and then Limerick and Bray, who have just been on a different level of crap.
That's one way of putting it, Kieran.
So, I know that's not a great advert for the League of Ireland, but that's just the way I feel, John. So yeah. I feel by having that safety net of a playoff there, where Limerick can go out and get battered 5-0 now for the next couple of weeks and have absolutely no bearing on anything other than maybe confidence, I don't feel why they should only have to win maybe one or two games to stay in the division.
I get the point, and I get that there's arguments for and against it. Just from my point of view, it's very easy to say that now we know how bad the ninth place team is, but what I'm saying is we didn't know that at the start of the season. If it had been three teams that, yes, okay, there might be seventh, eighth and ninth, but there might not be anything between them, we might be saying a different story.
Ninth, though. Ninth out of 10-team division. You don't deserve the chance to stay up. That's terrible.
But it's only 10 teams, you know.
But ninth.
I know what you're saying. But does the 14th best team in Ireland deserve a chance to be promoted?
I had that argument thrown back at me last night.
14th out of 20?
Yeah, 14th out of 20. But if they're that bad, they're not going to get through that playoff series in the first division anyway. Because they're going to have to win more than one or two games to get promoted.
But I remember a few years ago, Blackburn were nowhere in the league and they had a storming run, finished just in the playoffs and won the playoffs and went up. So it's the same type of thing. You know, a team that's finished, you know, if say, COVID had gone on a run of winning 7 or 8, they could have took that fourth place. Would they be justified in getting promoted and things?
Well, if that's the name of the game, if fourth gets you into the playoffs, then yeah, they would be. But I suppose the argument then is Limerick are within their rights to get themselves in a playoff and stay up that way.
It's one that could go on all night, the Kira.
Yeah, the end result, there was almost 200 votes on that. So thanks to everyone who voted. There was a brilliant reaction online last night. Really enjoyed the feedback we got. 55% of you agreed that it should be the bottom two automatically relegated.
Okay, fair enough.
So yeah, we'll move on, John. Anyway, that was a good debate on that. Our next result was in terms of Europe as well. Waterford, a 2-0 win over Bray, but it was more comfortable than that, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think Bray were a bit unfortunate with Evan Moran going off early. Yeah, he took a bit of a bashing.
From Sander Puri, who 2 minutes later scores. It's a bit of rough justice, isn't it?
Yeah, he chipped it. It was a nice goal, actually. He chipped the substitute goalkeeper to make it 1-0. Hunt had a goal ruled off for offside. You're quite impressed with him, were you?
I've mentioned it a few times since he came in. I think we're mentioning the likes of Delaney there. There's great examples in recent years that have been at Rovers and even at Longford Town, Keith Gillespie coming back. The players haven't been in good physical condition. They've come into the League of Ireland and they've been shown up. Mm. Hunt's come back and he looks as fit, if not fitter than anything in this league.
Yeah. In fact, he got the second when from a Rory Feely cross to make it 2-0.
Yeah, Feely's one who's impressed me. I've seen him at close quarters when Waterford played in Dundalk earlier in the season, and he was very, very attacking from the fullback position. A player that I think clubs could be looking at in the next couple of seasons.
Bray, for me, offered nothing again. There'll be no loss to the Premier Division in the current state.
At least the news 5-0.
Well, that's true. Have to say, Stanley Abora was excellent. Did you?
Yeah, he took up the mantle with Heary been out suspended, I suppose. So again, that just speaks to the quality that Waterford already possessing, the likes of Abora, Heary, Hunt. You'd like to see more from McInerney. Again, I've mentioned Feely there. They have a couple of good young goalkeepers as well. So if they can add to that squad now at the end of the season, I feel they'll be the one to push the top two next season.
Yeah, I agree. I agree, definitely. Move on. Sligo 1, St Pat's 2, Kieran.
The Brendan Clark game, I think this one will be remembered
as. Yes, indeed. Yeah. And
do you know what? Strangely enough, he gets the winner from the penalty spot, obviously, but I actually felt he didn't have a great game with his hands.
Right, okay.
A couple of dodgy moments.
Yeah, he did, actually. He did.
But that's all been forgotten about, of course.
Soccer Republic were very harsh on him, weren't they? Did you see?
The lack of leadership.
If he's the one taking penalties, there's serious problems.
Yeah, I thought that was rubbish. Surely the goalkeeper stepping up and doing that is showing leadership. It's showing courage and a bit of bottle, isn't it?
He's showing he's the best man for the job, as he duly put it away.
Yeah.
We've seen it before. Plenty of international...
I thought it was clever.
Yeah, plenty
of international... You don't say that if he rolls it into the keeper's hands and they smash it up the far end of the park.
But
kudos to Brendan Clark.
We've seen goalkeepers take free kicks and penalties and, you know, it's been done before, and fair play. If Clark can do it, then why not?
But anyway, give us the rundown on this one.
Well, Lee Desmond put in Jake Keegan for the opener here for St Pat's. They went 1-0 up, but Sligo equalised when Mikey Drennan, a man that's hitting a bit of form after his move back to the league, he converted from a corner to make it 1-1. But then, as we say, Simon Madden, he was fouled for the penalty. Surprise, Brendan Clark got up and he scored it to the match finish 2-1 to
Pats. Very cheap penalty giveaway, just a dangle of the leg.
It was, wasn't it?
When there was already a couple of men in cover there was no guarantee he was going to score or create a chance there. So,
but you know how much I rate Madden, and he's in the right place and brilliant, causing havoc again. So, you know, he's such an asset down that right-hand side.
Poor result for Sligo, but they're safe from any playoff danger. You'd have to say well done to their fans who are still turning out in the plus 1,000 figures, even though their season is effectively over. over.
They always have that good core support, yeah. Don't they, Sligo? But
that's why they should be doing so much more.
They deserve more, though.
They do.
Than what they're getting at the moment, those fans. You know, to be turning out week
once again for Sligo, it's going to come down to recruitment in the off-season, because the last couple of seasons, their recruitment has been appalling.
Yeah, really poor. And it's been more about gut feelings and taking chances on, you know, players that haven't really done it. So... Mm. You know,
Pats, we thought their recruitment was good in the off-season, but they haven't kicked on. Just in a little bit of transfer news there today, Graham Kelly is left by mutual consent from the club for midfield. So again, just like Sligo for Pats next season, it's going to be all about recruitment. But we're going to bring you our first interview of the night now. As we said, it's time to take a deeper look at the situation at Cork. And Pat McAvoy, the lifelong Cork City fan, joins us on the line now. So, fan interviews make Between the Stripes LOI podcast one of the unique podcasts in the League of Ireland, giving fans their opportunity to come on and speak alongside the stars of the league. And we're delighted to be joined by a Cork City fan now who's been following the Rebels since 1989, Pat McAvoy. Welcome to Between the Stripes LOI podcast.
All right, lads. Thanks for having me.
So, Pat, it's been a tough couple of weeks for Cork. They look like they may have relinquished that title now to Dundalk. I'm not sure if you were at the game against Bohemians at the weekend. What did you make of the result and, more importantly, the performance? Because I think John Caulfield said himself that first 45 minutes was probably the worst he's ever had in charge of Cork City.
I think it was the worst 45 I've seen. I can't even remember the last time. And I'm sure that some historians will say, if we've ever conceded four goals in the first half, it was abysmal, I think. I was there, and you just had to, some way in the cold light of day, feel for Damien Delaney. I think he's coming back heralded as a Premiership player, and I think he just had a horror show. Like, that first goal was... abysmal, and then himself and Barry just didn't really look comfortable at all. I'm sorry, Delaney was so caught for pace. I said to one of the lads at half time, if he's got a taxi, he'd probably miss that. Like, it was just awful.
Why do you feel he hasn't settled, Pat? Because we actually discussed him a couple of weeks ago on this show, and we said we've been extremely disappointed with him. He just doesn't look to have settled to life in Cork at all.
I don't know what it is like. Is it just, you know, and without wanting to sound so harsh, like, was it last season or two seasons ago? He was bossing Diogo Costa off the park. And is it just his fitness isn't there? I'm not sure, but I don't think he's a good fit for the team, unfortunately. It's great to say you have a lad who was playing in the Premiership last year. But I think it's a bit alarming how far he fell. But it was one match, you know, that he played so badly. So
I think his European performances though would have to be questioned as well. I remember getting caught quite badly ball watching in one of the games. He certainly wouldn't be one of the first former Premiership players to come back over the age of 30 here in the last couple of years and just not take to the league at all.
Yeah. You know, and I think, you know, I'd wonder how long he would last with us, to be honest with you. You know, with the league wrapping up in a month or so, I wonder will he get another contract with us? Like,
well, did he sign an 18-month deal when he signed?
Is that what it was?
But of course, we've seen Damien Duff,
maybe
of course.
There might be a get-out clause there somewhere, hopefully.
Yeah, we've seen Damien Duff doing similar, and he knew himself his time was up with injuries, and he called it early on his Rovers career, so maybe we'll see similar with Delaney. But then again, he could have a strong pre-season and come back and be back to his best next year. But let's move on from that. John Caulfield, obviously a man under extreme pressure now after that result. He took a lot of stick from his own supporters at the end of that game in Dalymount Park. What's your views on the Cork boss?
I think he's pragmatic and he's cautious, and I think there was a very, very good article in the newspaper today, and it put a lot of things into perspective where we were the victims of our own success last year, where we had one of those seasons where we players clicking all over the field, we'd a godsend, a diamond in Shawnee Maguire, and he lit up the field. Like, I think a lot of the players that we have, they don't seem to be John Caulfield type of players, where I think he needs, or he prefers to have players who can adapt to different roles, different positions, and work and work and work for the full 90 minutes, where I think some players we have, and that wouldn't be their strongest suit, where they tend to drift in and out of games, and then they put on the electricity and they put on the show for 5-10 minutes, grab a match winner, and it's brilliant, it's amazing. But then when they have a poor night or the rest of the team isn't working well, that's where you notice it. So I think he should stay at the end of it. And it's not that the argument of who else would we get, but you look at his record, what he has done for us in the last couple of seasons, the cup finals, the finally getting over the Dundalk. I think it's just a culmination of recruitment is more where I would look at than maybe pointing the finger at Caulfield. And I know he obviously has the final say on it, but I think it's recruitment is more where the problem is. Like, you look at your man we got from Sligo, Adebo Rowling. Personally, I think we robbed him of 6 months of a career. Like, I've come to the conclusion he only came down to keep Kieran Sadlier company. You know, I think he played twice. I saw him once, and I think he scored a goal for us. But recruitment, I think, is more where I'd have a problem with than maybe with John Caulfield. Like, we know what we're going to get from John Caulfield. If you get hard-working players who are willing to put in a graft, like Shepherd, like, I think he's been a fantastic player this season. To come from, say, the low of the end, back end of last year, when it came out that, you know, he'd met Kenny and he was all fit to go to Dundalk, and there was the whole Kenny releasing that information before, and Shepherd turning around goes, well, no, I want to be professional, I'm not having that. He's knuckled down this season, and he came out with his, you know, with his medical issues, and that cleared a lot of things up for people, where it goes, all right, well, now we can see why you weren't playing to your best, because you couldn't. And he's been putting in some shift in the last couple of matches. He seems to be one of the few on Friday night that actually put in a shift, like, from where I could see. Morrissey had a poor match. McCormack, I think the captain's armband is like kryptonite. It just has had not a good effect on him, really.
Yeah, Pat, I was going to ask you about the other side of things. Caulfield's come under a lot of criticism for that. You know, he's had the really poor run in Europe this season, really poor recent form. I think that cup victory against Longford, that just papered over the cracks that were there.
Yeah.
You can see the frustrations with the fans and the way that Cork are performing this season.
Completely, you know, and I would agree. The 7-0, sorry, lads.
Yeah, it's okay. We're over it.
What can you say? You know, I can see the frustration.
Yeah, and I've never seen Cork play like that this season.
No, that's the point we met on last week's show, John. If Cork were to go into a game with that mentality of every week, obviously you're playing a lower opposition in Longford, but there's no reason why Cork shouldn't be able to go out and play that way against teams like Sligo, Limerick, Bray.
Yep.
No, and it's be adaptive as well, you know, to in-game adaptiveness, you know. I thought, geez, it would have been brilliant if we'd Sadlier and Chep up front, because I think that's where we're most potent, with Chep running down one side, Sadlier on the other, creating space for other players to run into, like Cummins, like Morrissey, like Buckley, to get a bit of room, because that's what worked last year when we had Sean Maguire, and why he was so prolific, because he was pulling defenders into other space. So, you know, it's baffling. It's really like Jekyll and Hyde, where one week you can do so well, you can put out a decent performance. You know, you can say, you know, oh, it was against lesser opposition and, you know, the man was sent off. But you still have to beat the team that's in front of you. And it just, you know, I think it was quite revealing in Stephen Beattie's interview yesterday, where he said, we just weren't at it. And that would make you wonder what else is going on, if you know, one or two lads on the team have an off night, but 11 all to have an off night.
Is that down to the manager though, Pat? Surely it's his job to motivate the players?
It should be, but I would think some of it is down to the players as well. Kind of knowing that they have to win every single match. I just, you know, from, well, after the whole Sligo debacle, you know, but I think it's maybe the European hangover for us this year has really kicked in, you know, where, you know, Europe didn't go well at all. We didn't score a goal. That's not good when you're the champions from a country, not to score a goal. And, you know, Legia were there for the taking. But like you say, there was a couple of moments of defensive frailty and naivety with Griffin and Delaney, and you're punished. But it's, there's hope there. I believe that there's some hope there. It's frustrating, but I was talking to one of the players over the weekend, and you could tell by the way he was talking that he was embarrassed, you know, and he'd know me quite well. And he said, look, to me, there's fans and there's supporters, and the supporters are the extra thousands that go because we've won cup finals. There's fans who will always go. And I'd like to think that there's knee-jerk reactions when it comes to the manager and stuff like that, but when you think we're second in the league, yes, we haven't kicked on. Yes, Europe was poor, but I think he still should stay.
Pat, on that note, we've gone way over time, Pat. Thanks for your excellent insight there. As you said, knee-jerk reactions can be quite common in the world of football, so we'll take that into account as we're discussing the Cork situation on tonight's show. But for now, thanks for joining us, and we'll be joined later on, folks, by Kieran Callan from Dundalk to preview the big game at the weekend. But Pat, once again, thanks for joining us, and best wishes for the rest of the season.
Not about it, lads. It's a pleasure.
Between the Stripes LOI podcast is proudly sponsored by Flomax. For all your compressed air, vacuum and industrial equipment needs, simply visit flomax.ie.
Okay, John, so we'll move on to the First Division results from the weekend. Only one place to start. Congratulations to UCD, 2018 First Division champions. A 1-1 home draw with Finn Harps was enough, but it was nervous.
It was, and I have to say, there was a great atmosphere at the bowl, and
crowd,
great attendance.
1,000, yeah.
Yes, which was great to see. And they do get the fans when there's a big match behind them. So, this was UCD winning the league, but it wasn't always that way. It was a long time they were down to a Keith Cowan goal.
Yeah, we were just talking about Keith Cowan actually on our Facebook Live intro for tonight's show, and check that out every week if you haven't done so already. You can get us on Facebook, facebook.com/between the stripes. I feel Cowan has been one of the top centre halves in the First Division this season, John. Haven't seen him many times playing against Longford. Just a real throwback, old school centre half. Heads the ball, clears the ball, none of this fancy stuff with his feet.
Yep.
And he's a real threat in the other box, as he showed. So I think Premier Division clubs should certainly take a look at him.
Well, we talked about if Harps don't get promoted through the playoffs, and you know, we would be an asset to Derry. We've been talking all season about Derry's back four.
The last time I actually seen him play, fun enough, was in Oriel Park, the FAI Cup game between Dundalk and Harps. And early in the game, Dundalk put in a lot of long balls and crosses into the box, which would be quite unusual. And he headed everything away. And I know a couple of Dundalk fans around me were like, that lad's big. And I was like, yeah, I've seen him play this season, he's good. And they took an interest in him. So I definitely think there might be some interest in him from some clubs. Maybe not that level, but...
And he's a threat in the other box as well.
As you mentioned, a team like Derry, who's just been leaking goals for fun this year, he'd certainly come in here and help slow things down a little bit.
Yeah, so there could be a couple of possible destinations, but we'll upset the Harps fans if we keep... trying to get him a transfer there. But look, UCD with the equaliser, it's quite late on, but... That man that signed from Reading, and it was a great run and goal.
Goal, great first touch, spins the defender and sticks it away without even lifting his head. He just knew where the goal was, great striker's instinct. And yeah, as you said, he's been a great asset since he's come in. And you have to remember, we're coming in with huge pressure on his shoulders, having to claim as many goals as Georgie Kelly did. And 6 goals in 5 games, that is incredible going.
Between him and Yo-Yo, they've not missed Kelly, which we thought that would... End of season,
yeah.
And absolutely anything but Georgie Kelly went, and these either of those lads have just stepped in and taken his place, and you wouldn't notice.
Everyone looks back to that UCD side, 2009, Finn, Bulger, the McMillans, Kilduff, And that was an amazing side. But this side, I think, is going to be right up there. They were so consistent this season. The football they played, the fact they're all 19, 20, 21-year-olds, scholarship players. As I said, the brand of football they're playing, and the fact they lost Georgie Kelly, but they've just produced and produced and produced more top-quality players. I think the likes of O'Neill, Sloggett, Scales, they've all been superb. They lost their goalkeeper at the start of the season as well. Yeah. I think this is one of the best teams the First Division has ever seen.
But I think the beauty about it is that the team's so close. We talk about their age, you've talked about their age, but they're all so closely knit together. They train together, you know, they've got everything there that they need, and they've got a manager that helps them develop that talent.
Yeah, we're going to hear now any second from Conor Davis, the man who scored that goal at the weekend. But just before we go to that interview, John, do you feel UCD will be well-placed in the Premier next season?
I think so, yeah. I think that they won't be challenged at the top, but I think they'll comfortably have enough to avoid relegation, and I could see them having a mid-table finish. I don't think they'll really lose a lot of these players, you know, because they're in scholarships there. They're studying as well. So I think the future's bright.
Be interesting to see, though, if things aren't going well halfway through, but they're still within maybe, you know, 4 or 5 points, would Colly O'Neill just be tempted to dip his toe into the transfer market and bring in a player from outside that scholarship system?
I don't think so.
From speaking to him here on this show, I don't think so.
He said absolutely no. That's not going to change. Yeah, I know what you're saying. things look a lot different when you're around the bottom of the league, but I don't think he'll change his ways. And it's worked very, very well for them this season. And they've surprised us all.
Yeah, great stuff. Let's go to that interview now. Conor Davis, the match... I'm not going to say match winner, but league winner.
Yeah.
Got the goal at the weekend to secure the title, and he joins us on the line now.
No, I'm delighted to announce we've got Conor Davis with us from title winners UCD. Conor, you're very welcome to Between the Stripes podcast.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me on.
Good. So firstly, congratulations. Obviously, a league win and a championship medal doesn't come every day. You must be delighted.
Yeah, absolutely. I joined UCD at a time where they were top of the league, and obviously they were aiming to win the league, but to finally get it done, it's hard to put into words how good a feeling it was.
Yeah, and I think it's unusual in that, you know, a side loses the top scorer, brings in yourself, and there's been no difference, really. The team's just still marched on.
Yeah, do you know what? I think even if I hadn't have come in, I think UCD have a great striker in Yo-Yo Mahdi, and I have no doubt that UCD would have went on to win the league anyway, but I'm just delighted to have come in and just given them that extra little push.
So going back to your days in England, did you start off with Reading, was it, Conor?
I did, yeah. I moved from Temple Oak here in Dublin to Reading.
And you were in the underage teams at Reading, were you?
Yeah, I was. So for the first two, I was there for 4 years, and for the first 2 years, I was with under 18s.
Okay.
But I played as a left winger there rather than a striker, because there were in my age group there were quite a few strikers. But you know, I was happy to be playing. I still chipped in with a lot of goals. But then, for the last 2 years, when I moved up from the 18s to the 23s, they still saw me as a left winger, and I'm not a winger, I'm a striker, so I wasn't really playing as much, and I wasn't getting as much of a look in as I would have liked. So the last kind of 18 months have been a bit more difficult.
And how did the move to UCD come about then, Conor?
So I knew that this summer, I knew that I was going to be getting released from Reading, and I was considering my options. It was going to be either an option of staying in England and playing at quite a low standard, or coming home and playing in Ireland. And to be honest, I did really come to terms with coming home. I wanted to come home and play in the league, and it was just trying to figure out what club would be the best, would suit me the best. So I knew a few of the lads at UCD from my time at Temple Oak here, and another guy at UCD, Kevin Coffey, I grew up with. So I gave Kev a text and I asked him for Colly O'Neill's number. And I texted Colly and I asked him, this was before that I knew that I was definitely going to sign. But I asked Colly if I could come up and train. And I had been training there a couple of weeks before we got the deal done. And it was like, I haven't looked back since. It's worked out so well.
And it must be great to work under Colly. You know, everybody speaks highly of him as a manager.
Absolutely. I think I've only been there 2 months, but like I can say so far, he's the best manager that I've worked under. He gets an outrageous amount out of the lads. So yeah, I'm really happy to have found Colly.
So last match of the season, trip to Longford. Longford needing a win for any kind of hopes of getting the playoffs. You were taking your eye off the ball, were you, Connor?
No, I don't think so. We've chalked off Finn Harps and the league, but we're looking to cement our status as the best team this year. So we definitely won't be taking it easy.
That's an awful shame because our sponsors, St. Mel's Brewery, have offered the brewery for the entire squad for a Saturday morning, if should you wish to have it. Yeah, yeah. I think it'd be great preparation for the match.
Oh, yeah, couldn't get better.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'll have to turn that one down.
Ah, awful shame. Awful shame. Yeah.
Connor, you mentioned there the fact you had to make a choice when you came home about maybe what club to sign for. Was there a couple of options on the table in terms of League of Ireland clubs?
In the end, there actually wasn't that many options. My name was around the clubs. I'm like, as far as I know, I'm aware that they knew that all the clubs knew that I was kind of a free agent and I was able to sign. But as soon as I got texting Colly and came up to training, I just forgot about anything else, and I really enjoyed it at UCD. The lads, obviously, I knew some of the lads already, and the rest of the lads made me feel really welcome. So I knew nearly straight away that it was a perfect fit.
And I think I'm right in saying, Connor, you were on trial previously with Shamrock Rovers.
I was. So last February, March time, 2017, I played a friendly for Shamrock Rovers against Wexford Youths. But for whatever reason, that didn't work out. I don't really want to get too much into that, but it was good. It was good that I eventually came home, and now look what I've done now.
Did that put you off, though, in terms of coming home? The fact you weren't on trial with Rovers for whatever reason, you didn't get signed up, did that maybe just put a doubt in your mind about coming back to play in Ireland? As you mentioned, you did have the chance to stay in England, although a low level.
It didn't really put a doubt in my mind about coming home. It was disappointing because I think that I could have done well at Rovers, and they've been given like a really great opportunity to young players. So that it would have been a great opportunity, but you know, I don't look too much into the past. Like, what's done is done. And no, it didn't put a dampener or any doubts in my mind about coming home. I was still happy to come home when the time did come.
So sadly, you're not going to take your eye off the ball this weekend against Longford, but after that you do have that huge cup semi-final against Dundalk. What's the mood in the camp? It's certainly a tough ask to go up to the champions elect, it seems, and get a result.
Yeah, absolutely. We all know that it's going to be a very tough game. But you know, we knew the same against Waterford. It was going to be a really tough game. We're the underdogs going into the Waterford game too. We're all really high on confidence, obviously, after winning the league. So we're just going to have a crack at it. And you know, it's been such a successful season already. But if we could get something from that game, then wow. Yeah, it would be great.
Given what Colly has done during his time at UCD, even before this season, obviously progressing around in Europe, which is an absolutely incredible achievement considering UCD were a first division club at the time. The league win this season, then with a team full of scholars and a cup semi-final place, we shouldn't be surprised what UCD can do this season, should we?
No, I don't think so. I think, to be honest, I'm not sure what the word around about UCD was at the start of the season, because I wasn't paying really close attention to the first division while I was in England. But as far as I know, the lads said that there were an awful lot of previews of the league, and people were saying that we might be a mid-table team. But you know, I think the lads have proved everyone wrong, and it shows that even though we're a young team, that we can compete at a very high level. So yeah, I don't think anyone should be surprised.
Yeah, I think we probably have to hold our hands up, John. I don't think UCD were inside. Maybe they could have been in our playoff predictions, but certainly.
No, neither of us predicted UCD to do what they've done this season. So
I think a lot of that probably had to do with the fact maybe League of Ireland fans weren't familiar with the players there. They looked at UCD going to this all-scholarship system. They were saying, oh, there's going to be no experienced players there, where in the past they've had the likes of Kieran Marty Waters, for example. But just tell us about some of the players you've played with this season. Yo-Yo there is one player that's coming up a lot. His name has been mentioned an awful lot when we've spoken to people from UCD.
Yeah, Yo-Yo's a really, really good striker. I thought when I first signed for UCD, I didn't expect to play as much as I have played. I thought, you know, it's going to be a... And it has been. It's been a real battle between me and Yo. In training, he's always on form. Other players like Neil Ferrugia, I think he was injured for quite a lot of this season. He's been a great boost to have, you know, through the spine. I think Liam Scales and Josh Collins don't get enough credit for what they do. I think they're two of the most solid centre-halves I've ever played with. Gary O'Neill, obviously, has been solid alongside Greg, and Connor Kearns has made some really important saves for us as well. So I think there's some awfully talented players on the team.
Yeah, and of course UCD lost their first choice keeper to Waterford as well at the start of the season, so again it's just incredible the rate of production of players that's coming through the system there at UCD. In terms of, obviously you've played in England with Reading, which is an extremely high level, Connor, but the setup at UCD, is it as good that you'll find anywhere in the country?
Oh, 100%. I mean, the facilities are top class. The facilities at UCD are better than the facilities that were at Reading. I mean, the pitch is like a carpet. It's great to play on. It helps as well, aside from the facilities, that all the lads are, we're all a close-knit group going to college. So we see quite a lot of each other. So I think it's all just kind of fitted together really nicely.
And I was reading your piece on the 42.ie earlier in preparation for this, and I seen in that you made the choice while towards the end of Reading, when perhaps you knew maybe your time was up there, to go into an education system, and now obviously you've gone to UCD. So is it important that young players think about their education in that sense?
Yeah, 100%. I think it's really important that you have a backup, because, you know, you never know. Football's a short career anyway. You never know. I hate to sound really negative, but you never know when it could be cut even shorter with a bad injury. And as well, like, football's a lot about opinions, and it could be going really, really well 1 month, and then the next month you might find you're just completely out of favour. So I think to have that backup is really important.
Connor, we can keep you on the line all day. It's been a fascinating interview, and once again, thanks for joining us. But just before we let you go, this UCD side, myself and John were just speaking in our Facebook Live intro to tonight's show there about UCD and their chances for next season. We feel the shooting certainly won't be out of place in the Premier Division next season. I know it's early to be talking about that, but how do you feel you might perform next year in the top flight?
I think we can rub shoulders with the bigger teams and do really well. I don't think any of us will be afraid of playing at that level. We've shown already against Waterford that we can do it. I think everyone's really looking forward to it, and it will be a great challenge, we know that, but one that we're looking forward to.
Connor, superb stuff, thanks for joining us, and if you change your mind about the brewery, just give us a shout and we'll get the keys for you.
No worries, I'll give you a call.
Thanks very much, Connor.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Connor, all the best.
BetweenTheStripes.ie is sponsored by Diaga. Based in Buncrana, County Donegal, Diaga are world leaders in top-class logo and graphic design, website building, film production, illustration, and much more. For further information, please visit Diaga.ie. Enjoying the show so far? Why not leave us a review on iTunes? Want something featured on next week's show? Get in touch via Twitter at Between Stripes, or find us on Facebook by searching Between the Stripes. Finally, our new website address is www.betweenthestripes.ie. Enjoy the second half.
So, Kieran, what kind of man turns down an early morning and afternoon in the brewery?
Especially a student.
Yeah,
students now. For a few cans.
That's terrible. Yeah, what an offer we gave them, but he wasn't to be turned by that. But anyway, look, we'll move on. Drogheda beat Longford Town in an absolute crushing blow to Longford's promotion hopes.
Oh, do we have to talk about this? Can we not just talk, live in the bubble of UCD and talk about cans and breweries?
I'm going to give you two words that's the difference between Drogheda and Longford this season: Gareth McCaffrey. And it could be any genuine striker.
Well, you don't feel there was enough depth in the Lamford squad, is that what you're...
Well, I'm just saying they had a man that can find his way to goal, you know, proper centre-forwards.
I disagree. I said they had plenty of men that could find their way to goals. There was a great spread of goals in this Drogheda team all year. It was McCathery on Friday night. It easily could have been, I know he was injured, it could have been Duffy. It could have been any of their players from midfield. Like said, Brennan have chipped in with goals all season. And they've got players at the back, even Kieran Kelly, who got that late equaliser, which was actually pivotal in the end, because had that late equaliser not gone in earlier in the season against Longford, Longford would have already had the playoff secure going into this game. So for me, there was just a greater spread of goals across the draw of the team, whereas Longford, they were relying on McGlade, they were relying on Verdon. There wasn't enough goals from deep. The centre-back O'Reilly chipped in with a couple of goals, but bar that, you weren't seeing goals across their back four. So I think Drogheda just probably stronger squad in the end. And you said going into this game last week in the prediction game that you felt the injuries and the suspensions for Longford would catch up on them, and that's certainly what happened in the end.
Yeah, you can't keep going on such a threadbare squad. I mean, we looked at the subs bench a few weeks ago and it was all under 17.
270 from off the bench on Friday. So.
And I said at the time last week, this, you know, it's going to end at some stage. And unfortunately, it just happened to be this match. Longford actually took the lead through Dean Dillon. You're impressed with his performance?
Yeah, he'd be more of a winger or a centre forward, but he actually played centre midfield given the lack of options Longford had. And he was absolutely superb, especially in the first half. Probably drifted out a little bit in the second, having not had a lot of game time under his belt previously. But a great goal. He broke through a couple of tackles. The ball was on the edge of the box. He opened up his body and he curled it into the bottom corner. And at that point, you thought Longford were going to go and grab a hold of the game and maybe do a job on Drogheda like they've done away from home against the likes of UCD this season. But Drogheda were allowed to creep back into the game. Free kick, controversial decision, as has happened a lot in Longford games this season. But they made no mistake. McCaffrey bending it into the bottom corner. Kelly, if you watch the highlights, he actually takes a step to his right. And by the time he gets across, he's just too late.
But, I hate to see that on free kicks. Yeah, don't you? The goalkeeper just taking a step and sort of predicting where it's going, and then you caught
Longford then came out for the start of the second half and they actually played far better than they did in the first, and they were on top. And the chance that keeps playing in my head over and over again, John, Hopkins was played in. He was one on one with Skinner and you were just starting he was going to score, because Hopkins has got into this position plenty of times for Longford in the past. I was thinking back to his goal against Sligo in the cup last year. Yeah. It was kind of that same angle where he usually just darts it into the bottom corner, but no, he hit the goalkeeper. Then McGlade, who was very quiet all night, didn't seem to be in the game at all. He had a chance to square the ball to Dervin for what would have been a tap-in. He decided to go and beat the fullback, and he did that, but then his cross was cut out and the chance was gone. And with that then, Longford had a free kick late in the game, and they actually got caught off their own free kick. Drogheda broke a ball over the top to McCaffrey, who snuck in behind Tristan. There was claims of offside, but having looked at the highlights, and at the time I didn't think it was offside, the linesman didn't wave his flag either way, and McCaffrey chipped it over Kelly in brilliant fashion. And Longford, as hard as they pushed in the last couple of minutes, it even took Mick Kelly, the goalie, to come up for a last gasp corner, and he got his head on it and it skimmed the post and went wide. But with that, the final whistle went, and you'd imagine Longford's playoffs hopes went with it.
Yeah, very, very disappointed for us Longford fans as such.
And, especially when there was such a huge travelling support. There was about 200, 250 Longford Town fans up there.
Yeah, superb to see,
I'm afraid that's it for this season, I think.
Well, there is one last throw of the dice to come, but we'll talk about that when we come to our previews. Cabo 1-1 at home to Shells.
Who was the goal scorers?
Dean Casey for Cabo and John Ross Wilson for Shells. Look, Shells cemented their position in the playoffs there anyway. Galway 1, Wexford 1. That has a real end of season.
Just on Shells,
feeling.
Their form in the last couple of weeks hasn't been great. Not great momentum going into these playoffs. Obviously, they have Galway the weekend. You'd expect them to win that. But
are they
looking as strong now as they were a couple of weeks back?
No, and I thought they'd have been galvanised with the signings they made. You know, the wingers that they signed, and but it seems to have gone the other way for Shells, and that they've just lost a bit of something.
Yeah, and Davey O'Sullivan, he scored that penalty against Athlone, but he hasn't kicked on. He's on 15 goals. He's still the top scorer, so I suppose you can say he's had a very bad second half of the season, but he's still the top scorer in the division. So I suppose you'd have to regard him still as a good signing for Shelburne, but is he going to find his feet in time for the playoffs? That remains to be seen. Good result for Cabo, but obviously not a lot in terms of the league table. It doesn't do a lot for them.
Yeah. Well, we'll see about Shells. They need to pick up, though, for the playoffs, because like I was saying earlier, the Blackburn effect, you know, you always look at a club that's in real good form going into the playoffs. And that's not Shells at the moment.
And I don't think it's Drogheda either. I know they've had this win against Longford, so maybe now this is where they kick on and get that little late push before their playoff games. But their form leading up to this was quite poor. Just like Longford, they've had issues over suspensions. Obviously, their manager, Tim Clancy, he's going to be out for another three games after his probably ill-advised comments about the referees. So for me, if you're looking at any of the teams in the playoff, Harps look to be the most consistent.
Yep, I would agree with that at the moment. There was one other match as I started. Galway won, Wexford won. Bit of a dead rubber. Good result for Wexford, though.
Yeah, I actually predicted them to win this game because I just feel Galway have just totally thrown the towel in for a number of weeks, ever since that game against Longford, where Longford hammered them 4-1. I just feel they've just totally given up the ghost, and they're not even playing for pride at the moment. So a good result for Wexford, but two teams that have had awful seasons.
Look, we'll move on and preview the weekend's fixtures, and it's absolute crunch time now in the First Division. And we'll
better
start
just,
with...
Better just mention before we preview them, obviously, okay. It's St. Mel's Brewery prediction time. Every time we have to predict the weekend's fixtures. I'm 9-2 down after my appalling effort again last week. So what I did before this week's show, put a tweet out to any of our listeners that wanted to get involved and play on my behalf. And I'm delighted to say Dylan O'Connell, Cork City fan, and you might recognise his name as well from the likes of ExtraTime.ie and The Evening Echo. He's given our predictions. So if he can get the job done... I'm going to take that point, and I'm going to send him down a couple of bottles of St. Mel's beer. So
right, okay.
Let's start running through the fixtures, John. We'll start with the First Division, excuse me, and we'll start with that last throw of the dice, as you've labelled it. Longford Town hosting UCD. Longford need a win, and they have to hope the draw had to lose away in Cove. Can you see Longford getting their part of the job done?
It's more heart ruling the head, I'm afraid, on this one. But I was hoping that the UCD lads would still be... on the sesh, shall we say.
No, we've tried to do our part in offering the brewery, but even a fine St. Mel's beer couldn't tempt them. I think that speaks to their professionalism, John.
Yeah.
And for me, they've been so consistent, so professional this season. They have that game against Dundalk. Maybe there's a danger of taking the eye off the ball, but there's also the incentive to go and get a good result here, go in with momentum. For me, I think Longford, their hearts must be absolutely sunk and broken after that result in Drogheda. I would go for a UCD win. But Dylan has gone for a Longford Town win. So
do you know what I've seen this league? It's been so exciting. There's been so many twists and turns in the playoffs. I'm just hoping there might be one little one left, Kieran.
So you're going for a Longford win. Yeah. Okay. Next fixture is that game in Cove. Cove coming in off the back of a cup final defeat, but their performance was positive. They didn't get hammered like I predicted.
No. Nope.
That's why I'm not playing this week. But do you think they can do Longford a favour here?
Well, I've got them down to win this, Cove.
You've got Cove down to win?
Yeah, this is heart ruling ahead again, because like I say, I think there'll be another twist in this one. I'm hoping Hendo will really stick it up Drogheda, because this, you know, he'd be gutted to have lost that final.
Lovely,
you know. Yeah, but I really think, you know, he's got one last match to prove. You know, he's got they've nothing to lose.
I know Cove are appealing for a big local crowd to come out and thank the lads for the season they've given the supporters, but I probably don't see that happening, in all honesty. They might get a small increase in attendance, but knowing the League of Ireland support,
quite a lot of Drogheda going down there.
Yeah, knowing the way, well, will they get in this time? But knowing the way League of Ireland supporters can be quite fickle, so I don't know whether they'll get that big home crowd they're hoping for. Hopefully they do. If you're listening, Cove folk, get out and support them lads. Great young side. But for me, I don't think Drogheda are naive enough to go down there and slip up. A draw here, I think I'm right in saying Longford would have to go and beat UCD by more than two goals. So
I think it's more than that, actually. I think it's three or four, I think we have to
so
win.
So you're probably looking for Cove needing to win this, forgetting about draws. For me, Drogheda don't slip up. I'd say a Drogheda win, and so does Dylan. So you're going with Cove.
Cove win, but I know that one of those won't happen. But you never know. You know, I just have to...
Asking a lot.
Yeah.
Wexford against Athlone.
It's got to be a cracker. Wexford for me, Kieran.
Yeah, Dylan has gone the same. If I was predicting, I'd definitely go the same. Although Athlone have shown a small upturn in form. They had last week off as well, so they've had an extra bit of preparation
they've
for this one.
They've had glimmers of upturns in form, but they've soon been wiped out.
So Wexford,
out.
I suppose, in certain regards too. They've had some tighter results.
Drew
in the
a Galway last match. So.
Wouldn't be a lot to shout about.
Yeah.
Harps against Cabo, John.
I'm going for a home win again. I think Harps' form's been quite good, and... yeah, they were unlucky not to win last week at UCD.
Always a difficult trip. As we've mentioned, consistent. Should have good momentum going into the playoffs. So Dylan's gone with a Harps win. I'd go with a Harps win.
Yeah, Cabo have nothing to play
you're
for.
You're going with the trio. So a win for the Donegal side there. Finally, in terms of the First Division, Shell's hosting Galway.
5 from 5 home wins. It's as simple as that, Kieran. Yeah. And Towner in the playoffs.
Yeah, Dylan's gone with Shell's as well there. I'd go with Shell's too. Galway just... Disgraceful this season, their efforts.
You're very harsh on Galway.
Disgraceful.
Right.
Okay. Moving on to the Premier Division. Waterford hosting Sligo.
Okay, well, I think Waterford will... they're only 2 points behind Rovers, I think, at the moment. So.
Any slip-ups now could be a total killer in terms of Europe.
Yeah, I don't think they'll slip in this one. I expect them to beat Sligo.
Well, Dylan thinks there will be a slip-up. He has called a draw on this one.
Has he? I'm surprised at that. I know Waterford have been a bit up and down recently, but... Sligo, okay, they had a great win a few weeks ago, but apart from that, they've not done anything special or outstanding, as far as I can see.
Dylan Minicore fan, maybe he just hates Waterford.
Possibly. Okay.
Derry against Rovers, John.
Okay, well, everything I've gone for has been a home win, but I'm expecting Rovers to go and win at Derry here.
Tough trip. I'm not sure on the situation. Again, we haven't done our research. In terms of Derry, if they win it tonight in the Cup, will this game be going ahead? Don't know. So we'll just speak about as if it is. Yes. We should have done our research on that. But,
research.
Go on, give us a prediction.
Look, I'm going for a Rovers win, actually, Kieran, because I think they'll be buoyed by that win against Limerick. They're playing quite well at the moment. The midfield's starting to click. Yeah, I'm going for a Rovers win.
Dylan goes for a draw again.
Does he? Okay. Mm. Yeah, well, he's probably going like I've done most of the season, that Derry at home, but the Derry at home thing's disappearing for me as far as I'm concerned.
Maybe that cup win will give them that back again, that little home mentality they had going. But since I'm not having to play this week, I'm not going to predict, because that is a tough one to call.
Yeah.
Bray against Limerick. Both teams, this is even a win here for either side. It's not going to do any difference, maybe just confidence-wise. Dylan goes for a 1-0 Limerick win.
Does he? Well, we know what the rules are for this show. Never bet on Bray. But then again, I saw Limerick last season and I've never seen a worse team in the league. So I'm going for a draw there.
I thought that's what you might say. Yeah. I'm thinking along the same lines there too. Pats and Bowes in a Dublin derby. Again, I'm not sure on the situation here regarding cup games and fixtures.
No, I think it depends on whether Bowes win that one. But look, the form that they're in, I can't look past Bowes. Bowes for me.
Draw, says Dylan.
He does eat right, okay. Yeah, no, I just think they're in such good form, and you know, there's goals everywhere in that Bowes side at the moment.
Yeah. Cork and Dundalk is the final fixture. You'll hear an interview now shortly with Kieran Callan from Dundalk, a local journalist there in the region. This is a big one, John.
Well, what's Dylan gone for?
Dylan has gone for a 1-1 draw, and he's a Cork man, so obviously he's not too confident.
Well, I'm not too confident in Cork, I'm afraid. And I think that Dundalk are going to squeeze this, because I do think there's starting to be a bit of a difference between the two sides.
I need a score prediction on this one.
Do you? Okay, I'm going to go 2-1 to Dundalk.
2-1 to Dundalk. And actually, I wanted a score prediction as well on that Bray and Limerick El Clasico there at the bottom.
1-1, Kieran.
Okay, he's gone for 1-0 to Limerick, so you're going 1-1. Yeah. Right, well, that's all the predictions ran through. Go on, Dylan, good lad. Get stuck into John there, and hopefully you pull a point back for myself.
Hang on, Kieran, what's the scoreline at the moment?
It's 9-2, so yeah. I don't know if there's even enough weeks in the season. I'm going to have to try and come up with some type of system that gives me double points, but... if Dylan can come out on top in that, there'll be a few bottles of St. Mel's on the way to Cork. But let's play you our final interview of the night now, folks. Kieran Callan from Dundalk joins us to preview that huge game in Turner's Cross. Okay, folks, so we've left the best to the last. Of course, the huge game Friday night in Turner's Cross live on RT. I know there's been an issue with tickets in terms of Dundalk fans, and we might discuss that in a moment with our guests. But we're joined on the line now by Kieran Callan, local radio presenter in Dundalk. Kieran, you're welcome to the show.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me.
So just before we preview the game, I might as well bring up that point. I know there's a lot of anger in Dundalk in terms of only around 300 tickets given out. I know there's been questions over maybe how some of those tickets were distributed. What's the feeling on the ground among the supporters?
Feeling on the ground among supporters is that season ticket holders, while the preference was given to season ticket holders for the 300 and 350 tickets that were given out, the word on the street is that people who weren't season ticket holders got their hands on them, or that a season ticket holder was able to go up, instead of just purchasing one ticket, he was able to purchase multiple. But mind you, these are rumours amongst the ground. You don't know exactly. Because I know Ailish and the girls in the office, they're very, very good at their jobs. They have a spreadsheet with all the season ticket holder names, and they have a very good policy in how they distribute the tickets. So I think realistically, when you look at the amount of season ticket holders compared to that of the allocation that Cork City gave us, they don't compare. You know, there's quite a large gap. My understanding is that there's in and around between 700 to 1,000 season ticket holders at Dundalk, between the ground and the stand. So when you look at that compared to 350 tickets, you know, it's just over 33% of the allocation, so to speak. So it was a very unfortunate situation. But when I look at the flip side as well, is that Cork City have to accommodate their supporters, and they would be hoping for a large crowd of home supporters coming. So they can't deny genuine Cork City fans who want to go to the game by giving a larger allocation to the away support. They have to give, by the FEI rules, an allocated percentage of their ground. And with that, they came up with 350 tickets. It's not our, you know, we have to accept what's given to us. I do know that I've been speaking to, from looking on social media and speaking to a couple of fans, people have bought tickets via the Ticketmaster app, so that they will attend, but they won't be wearing Dundalk colours. And my understanding is that Cork City have said that you might be refused entry. So that's kind of a risk that they're going to have to take.
Yeah, but I think you always hear that from clubs, where even with international matches, you get that quite a lot, that there's going to be refusals at the ground. Never really seems to happen, because you'd imagine it would only cause more of a security issue. But we won't get too bogged down in that, Kieran. No. We want to stick to the game itself. In terms of team news, can you give us any from the Dundalk camp?
The only team news that we have is that we have a full bill of health, bar the two long-term injury worries. Stephen O'Donnell, as we know, while he's doing light running and he's doing a very minuscule amount of ball work, and I say that, you know, it's very, very light at the moment, because Stephen O'Donnell is coming back from a very serious leg break. It was one of the most unusual injuries that I have heard in terms of an impact injury, but leg break that, instead of going kind of, how would you say, across the femur. And that's very unusual because of the impact of how he fell on the ground in the RSC. He's, you know, definitely out. Carlos Chedevoukas, who has been struggling with an ankle injury all season, he's had an operation on it this week in London. And so he will be out for the rest of the season, hoping to be back. So they're the two, you know, how to say, long-term injury that Dundalk have. Apart from that, they have a clean bill of health.
Yeah, I suppose Dundalk's record down in Turner's Cross in the last couple of years hasn't been great, but the fact Cork are in such poor form, a lot of negativity around the Rebel Army camp at the moment. Is there a feeling in Dundalk that there's a sniff of blood there and they can go and finish the job now on Friday night?
Well, you would like to think so. I think I've always said that the results between Dundalk and Cork have been the main, mainstay of where the title was going to go. And in the past number of years, while the results haven't gone our way in Turner's Cross, we seem to have gotten a result against them in Oriel Park, and this seems to be the case again this year. I think we're due a win. I think the last time we won down there, I think it was from a brace from Richie Tal back in 2015, and I think that's how long it's been since we've won down there. But in terms of, you know, the result last Friday night against Bohemians, I think it was the shock from the own goal that was scored by Damien Delaney really kind of, it must have knocked them back for six. And Bohemians really did smell blood. They just kept coming at them and coming at them. But they met them with pace and with an awful lot of very frantic. It was very much reminiscent of how, I don't want to get into too much of it, but it was very reminiscent of how Jurgen Klopp plays football in Europe. It's this kind of very fast, high tempo, aggressive style of attacking play. And that's exactly what Bohemians did in that first 45 minutes. However, when you see the games between Dundalk and Cork, particularly in Turner's Cross, it's been a very physical, frantic games which take quite a while to settle down. And I think if Dundalk, like they have done before, is that they have settled into the game a lot quicker than Cork City, they could get a result. The last time we were down there, Cork City could have won the league title that night. Last season, and only for a Robbie Benson equaliser, kind of kept the champagne on ice, so to speak, and Cork City eventually went on to win the league. But I think John Coffey will have his team very well organised. I think he will be able to bring back in the likes of Kieran Sadler, who was injured last week, and he'll also maybe have Sean McLaughlin back in, which will be a big, big boost in defence. So Cork City have always been very tactically, they know how to nullify Dundalk's attacking options in the midfield. And I think he will deploy that again. And look, you know, last time we played them, we lost 1-0 in Turner's Cross. It was a fantastic goal, but it was not their only shot on target. And that's all that Cork City needs.
Kieran, can we get a prediction?
I'd be happy with a draw, if I'm honest. I would be happy with a draw, but I just have a funny feeling. Like, the games that have proceeded, one goal is going to settle this game, and I have a funny feeling Patrick Hoobin is going to score down there.
Yeah, what have you made of his performances this season? Absolutely incredible numbers.
He's been brilliant, and the reason why he's been brilliant, I think a lot of people would consider that his time in England has been a flop. I wouldn't consider that at all. I think what he has done is that he's gone over to two to three leagues that he's played in, and they have been, and let's be honest with it, they have been at a much higher standard in terms of facilities, training and performance standards, and he has brought that mentality back to the League of Ireland, and that's why he's been so successful. Patrick Hoobin has come back rejuvenated, learned from his lessons over in England, and my God, has he taken it out on the League of Ireland's defences this year.
I think you have to remember he was very, very unlucky with injuries when he went over to Mansfield.
Oh, absolutely. He went over to Oxford originally, and he had taken very much a very little break, and then he got injured, and then during that time, the manager switched his tactics, and his role went from being the out-and-out number 9 to a number 10, which he definitely isn't. And then he went on loan to Grimsby. And you have to remember, he had two promotions that year. He had a promotion with Oxford, a promotion with Grimsby. Then he went to Mansfield. Once again, there was a change of manager, a change of style, a change of tactics. And because of that, he was very unfortunate, coupled with injuries. So I think he's come back, and I think he wants to prove an awful lot of people wrong, and I think he's done that in abundance this year.
Finally, just on Dundalk, myself and John have spoken a lot this season about if Dundalk can go and win this title and maybe even get a cup at the end of the season, they're in a very strong position for the Champions League next year. You'd be hoping to maybe even possibly be seeded in the Champions League next year. When are we going to start to see that European money, though, invested in the new stadium or in some sort of redevelopment at Oriel Park? Because I think that's something that's really frustrating League of Ireland fans at the moment.
I think a lot of people also thought, because when Pete Six came in, this magic wand was going to be wafted over Oriel Park, and all of a sudden we were going to have a brand new shining stadium. These things take time. And I think when you're looking at the... First of all, we are going to be seeded for the first round next year because our coefficient has gone from 4.5 to 7.
Mm.
So that means we're definitely going to be seeded next year in the Champions League in the first round anyway. The second, third and playoff rounds are another story. In relation to development, Mal Branigan spoke this week that in the Argus newspaper, which was an interview he did with James Rogers, that he very much hinted at the fact that there is going to be structural development to Oriel Park. I think when they were looking at it originally, they were looking at the basis that if Dundalk were successful in the league and in Europe, they would use that money, they would recoup it and then develop Oriel. I think because of the outstanding issues from both home and away supporters, they've decided to speed up that process a little bit, and now... So that's where I think there is going to be, I wouldn't say there'd be wholesale changes, but I do believe there's going to be the beginnings of a structural change at Oriel Park in terms of facilities. Look, I'm not going to turn around and say it's anything but perfect, far from it. But I think a lot of people seem to think that because we have this money in the bank, we should automatically invest in the ground. We've got players' wages, we've got staff wages, we've got overheads. There's a lot of things to be paid before you start making wholesale decisions. And I think what has landed League of Ireland clubs and other clubs in trouble before is they go to the banks to get these large loans, then they don't win the league for maybe a couple of years, they don't get the European money dries up, and then they default on their loans. I think Pete Six and Dundalk FC are very much aware that that's something they don't want to do.
Kieran, superb stuff. Thanks for joining us, and best wishes to all the Dundalk supporters travelling down to Turner's Cross for that huge game. It should be a great occasion and a great spectacle for everyone watching at home.
No problem. Thanks very much, Kieran.
Between the Stripes LOI podcast is proudly sponsored by Flomax. For all your compressed air, vacuum and industrial equipment needs, simply visit flomax.ie.
So, folks, that's been another episode of Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Before I let you go, delighted to announce we're available on another two platforms now. So we're just spamming the internet at this stage.
Yep.
We're now available on Stitcher, and we're also available on Google Podcasts. So anyone with an Android device, it's now much easier for you to access the podcast via Google Podcasts. So we're delighted to be on those two platforms. In terms of our other outlets, as always, we're on iTunes, and we really would appreciate as many subscriptions as possible this week to try and push us back up the charts. There's been a little bit of a drop off in that in recent weeks with the launch of the likes of our SoundCloud, etc. So we appreciate everyone that's tuning in, but a couple more subscriptions and reviews on iTunes really is appreciated. I've mentioned SoundCloud there. If you can follow that, soundcloud.com/between the stripes. We're still on Audioboom, Mixcloud, Pocket Cast, Podcast Republic, Podcast Addict. We really are everywhere. And of course, you can get the podcast on betweenthestripes.ie as well as all our latest articles. In terms of our sponsors, flowmax.ie, great thanks to them. We wouldn't be here this season without their support. Diageo.ie are the creators of BetweenTheStripes.ie, and we've mentioned St. Mel's quite a bit tonight, but they really have been fantastic since they've come on board with the podcast, so thanks to the guys out there. There's no show next week, folks. I'm away for a small trip in Scotland, so going to be taking in Hibs against Aberdeen in the League Cup, John, so a chance to see Daryl Horgan and Christy Forrester in action there. But we'll be back again the week after that, and I think I might be right in saying it's cup weekend then, is it?
All right, I think you could be right, we'll see.
But then again, what's research to us? So yeah. Folks, thanks for joining us, much appreciated. Give this a share on as many social media outlets as you possibly can, and as I said, subscribe on iTunes, follow us on iCloud, Spotify, whatever platform you prefer, and we'll speak to you in 2 weeks time. Thanks very much.
Subscribe to Between the Stripes LOI podcast now on iTunes, Audioboom, Mixcloud, Pocket Cast or Podcast Republic, and never miss an episode. You can follow us on Twitter at Between Stripes or like us on Facebook and Instagram by searching Between the Stripes. Add us on Snapchat. Our username is BTS1924. While for all the latest League of Ireland news and updates, you can visit BetweenTheStripes.ie. Until next week, thanks for listening.